This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Let's charge right into this, okay? We've got a big week ahead with plenty of challenges for us all to take on. We need some motivation to take these on. We need some clarity and some guidance on the tools that we've got at our disposal to take these on. And we're planning to deliver on some of those needs right now.
Live from the extended Stay in the Basement Inn via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we do kick off a big week with Jim Morris. Then we've got John Doggett from the National Corn Growers Association and Mike Frank from Nutrien. In the final segment, Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, drops by. And right after the news, a weather update from Michael Clark. He's from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, you know, if you stay in the extended care long enough, they might give you an upgrade.
I would hope so. Geez, by now I should be in a suite here in the basement.
How
it's
was
starting
the weekend,
to feel like
my,
it, though.
How was the weekend,
good.
My friend?
It was my gorgeous, beautiful, talented wife's birthday over the weekend.
Yes.
And we ate more cake and more ice cream than anyone
nice.
Should have been allowed. And
good
it was
for
a beautiful, beautiful celebration. How about you?
We had a very quiet stay at home. Take it easy. You realize just how thankful you are for a full freezer.
Right. Yeah. That's where we are now.
Yes, absolutely. And it was put to good use over the weekend. Let's just put
Atta
it that
boy.
Way. Yeah.
Atta boy.
Yeah. It's a different time, boy. It's a different time trying to keep up with the news that is happening, the impact of the virus around the globe and in here in the United States. It's something that we are that we're running to keep up with and trying
sure.
to figure it all out.
Absolutely.
No breaks over the weekend. Boy, no breaks over the weekend on something like this. Yeah. It is something that we need to stay on top of and try to figure out what is the next move going Oof. Forward for the United States and for some of the epicenters of the disease. New Orleans is going to be under fire here over the next week is what it sounds like, according to mm-hmm. the medical professionals that are keeping track of this. And of course, New York will continue to be a hot spot for coronavirus in the week ahead. Yeah. Okay, man, let's get to it. What do you got in the news?
Sure thing. Well, Chip, crude oil prices tapped an 18-year low and have lost roughly two-thirds of their value just this year. West Texas Intermediate crude fell 7.4% to $19.92 per barrel after President Trump announced social distancing protocols would remain in place until the end of April. That extends the directive. Trump had previously hoped to end social distancing directives by April 12, that's Easter weekend, but the president now believes that target was too early, saying, quote, nothing would be worse than declaring victory before victory is won. Yeah. Authorities say the peak of coronavirus infections may still be at least 2 weeks out. Trump is now targeting June 1st as a date to have the nation actively working to return to regular activities. Chip, after signing the $2 trillion rescue package, President Trump says emergency loans to small businesses could start flowing this week. That'd
well,
be great.
I think, yeah, and they're going to have to start flowing, if not this week, very soon, as soon as possible. And Treasury Secretary Mnuchin does seem to be taking a very active role in this, making sure that it it's going to be rolled out as quickly as possible. So I think that's a positive on these SBA loans going forward.
Here in the U.S., the death toll reached 2,191 on Sunday. Around the world, the number of fatalities quadrupled over the past 2 weeks to more than 30,000. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told CNN on Sunday his projections show the disease could kill between 1 and 200,000 in the U.S., with millions potentially infected.
Yeah.
And as China works to unravel itself from the coronavirus, the central bank today cut its short-term lending benchmark and injected $7 billion into its financial system. An advisor from the People's Bank of China said the central bank still has, quote, ample room for monetary policy and monetary policy tools.
I hope that's right, because they may have to kickstart this economy, seeing as we're going to go another 30 days with the social distancing. It may take another kickstart later to try to get this economy going.
Yep. Well, and finally here, the ethanol industry continues to struggle as gasoline prices hit a 20-year low in the U.S. Todd Becker, CEO of Green Plains Inc., told Bloomberg, quote, when we come out of these two black swan events, the price war in oil and now the coronavirus, we will probably look differently as an industry. Becker noted some plants will run out of capital soon. Meanwhile, Brazilian producers of sugar-based ethanol are struggling as well amid rising debt. Asian demand for ethanol is falling, and European ethanol producers are either cutting back on production or switching to making feedstock for hand sanitizer. Chip, this is one of those ramifications of the two-pronged oddities, the two black swans that came flying, and you got the oil price war and the coronavirus, both of them cutting into gasoline demand here, especially on the virus side. I don't know what happens to ethanol after this. And it's everywhere. It's Brazil, it's Europe, it's everywhere.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Well, we're going to talk with John Doggett at the bottom of the hour about what the NCGA sees for the future of the ethanol industry going forward.
Outstanding. Well, that's what passes for news this morning, Chip.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Michael, I hope everything's all right for you guys over there.
Going good, buddy. A little stir crazy, but that's the name of the game right now.
Yeah, that's right. Had some rough weather over the weekend in spots across the Midwest.
Yeah, severe weather, heavy rainfall, some flash flooding. It was a very, very active weekend for many folks across the central and eastern Corn Belt.
Yeah, the tornado damage is as close as, 25 miles from me here off to the east from the storms that rolled through on Saturday. So it was a rough one, man.
It's the last thing we need amidst what's going on. That's the last thing we need. So
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So tell me about the week ahead. What should we expect?
Yeah, so we will have a very nice dry week for Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. But for folks who are going to start looking at planting, say, Kentucky, Tennessee, and the Delta areas, looking wet, another inch and a half of rain, it looks to stay active further down to the south. Now, further back up into the northern plains this week, you'll have near average precipitation, but half of that's going to fall in the form of snow. The Dakotas and Minnesota could get 3 to 6 inches of snow Thursday into Friday. So,
Is just April, Michael. I mean, we should still be expecting snow.
This is kind of like a 3-year running normal at this rate, you know?
Yeah, crazy. So, crazy.
Yeah. So,
in other words, the wet areas are going to continue to see some moisture this week.
Pretty much. I mean, and then even out into week two next week, it gets a lot warmer next week. Again, the models did a major flip over the weekend to warmer and back to wetter here in the eastern, the Ohio Valley and the Deep South. So the dry stretch for the next 7 days or so is kind of probably short-lived, sadly.
Gotcha. All right, Michael, take care of yourself and your family, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thanks. You too, Chip.
All right, that is Michael Clark at BAMWX.com. You guys, we've got a treat coming up for you. Wait until you hear the story and how this all came about. Coming up next, we've got Jim Morris right here on AgriTalk.
Twenty 2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy companies work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hey, Ross. Well, last week we talked about Syngenta's commitment to new products, but what else does Syngenta offer in the way of seed care?
As the number one seed treatment provider in the world, we understand that having great products is only part of a winning equation. We also need to offer the best customer service when it comes to accurately using and stewarding those treatments in the field. As a result, we have dedicated seed care sales and technical support teams who work directly with their resellers and local markets to make sure they can help growers extract the greatest value from our products.
Thanks, Ross. For more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Protect your investment and experience peace of mind with a PowerGuard Protection Plan from John Deere. Offering similar bumper-to-bumper coverage as your original factory warranty, PowerGuard has plans for both residential and commercial machines, from riding lawn equipment and utility tractors to combines and sprayers. With up to 7 years of total coverage available, PowerGuard extended warranties provide flexible monthly and hourly terms along with no or minimal deductibles. Ask your local John Deere dealer today about PowerGuard Protection Plans.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Glad that you could join us today because, man, we have got something special going on right now. So, Davis.
Yes.
Dave, yes. Sue and I, my wife Sue and I, were looking for a feel-good movie the other night, and there it was, okay? The Rookie. So, you know, as soon as I saw it, I stopped flipping the channel immediately because that's what I do when I see The Rookie. And the reason I do that is because it's such an inspiring story. You know, you got the perseverance in there. You've got the message of things that can be accomplished if you get some motivation, make some sacrifices, and get some people, you know, the right people on your side. And what I'm talking about there is being part of a team. It was exactly the kind of movie that I needed, especially right now, because we're all making some sacrifices. We're all on the same team. And we all know that there is a reward for us at the end of this. Okay. So I think that's important to remember. Go ahead. Let's get him on here because in 1999, Jim Morris was 35. Jim, were you 35 or were you 36 when you made that trip to the mound?
Man, don't try to make me older. I was 35.
35. Okay. All right. So, and when he got in a game for the first time for the Tampa Bay Rays, he took the mound late in a game in the ballpark in Arlington, Texas. His story is the basis for one of the coolest movies that I know. For those of you that are still maybe struggling for this, we're talking about The Rookie, and Dennis Quaid played our guest in the movie. And here's what I want to know. First off, Jim Morris, welcome to AgriTalk, sir. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, glad to be here with you guys.
All right. So tell me, what was it like when that gate out in the outfield at the ballpark opened up and you got your first view of a Major League Baseball game that you were going to play in?
Holy cow. My favorite ballpark in my home state. I get to see my kids and my high school kids for the first time in 3 months. Everybody I know and love is at the game. Johnny Oates, the opposing manager for the Rangers at that time, God rest his soul, let 150 people in the game that day that had ties to me. And I'm making my first appearance at the age of 35, not 19 when you take things for granted, but at 35 when you kind of know how the world works. And it is the most unbelievable event that's ever occurred with me, having everybody I know and love watch me take the field at that time in my life. It was just amazing.
So, you know, I can imagine that the images of your family just come pounding into your head, but just the awesomeness of a Major League ballpark and walking out onto the field, did it even feel real?
Completely surreal. And as I made the run from the bullpen to the mound, everything I'd been through my entire life, the successes, the failures, the overcoming the different obstacles and having to persevere through all of it, and then having a group of high school teenage kids talk me back into my dream with a bet and having it come to fruition. By the time I stepped my spikes onto the dirt of the mound at the ballpark in Arlington, I would not have changed one thing about my life, because that made me who I was. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And Jim, there were struggles. I mean, the story of your childhood, you moved all over the place. Your dad's in the Navy. But, you know, what really bothers me is, as a high schooler, you were basically living a baseball player's dream down there in Florida. And then you had to make that one more move, and you made that move to West Texas, which is basically a baseball desert, right?
Absolutely. Our football coach, who is in the High School Hall of Fame for football, hated baseball. His saying was, I'd rather watch grass grow than watch a baseball game. So we didn't even have high school baseball.
Yeah. So how did you cope with that? I mean, because this is something that you had to cope with, because the baseball bug bit you very young.
Absolutely. At 3 years of age, my grandmother gave me my first ball, glove, and bat. And from that point on, I was in love. We lived in Oakland, Vita Blue and all those guys back in the early 70s, the A's, and just baseball. And I lived it, I breathed it, and it was just a blast for me. And I played it everywhere I went. And then I got to Brownwood, and I got 10 games a summer during City League ball, and that was not enough for me. But you know what? You make do with what you have, and when things happen, you adjust and you move on. And so it became football. And so I'd play football during the season, and then I'd play baseball a little bit in the summer, and then right back to football.
Okay. So when you came out of high school, what was your situation, Jim? Were you drafted to play baseball out of high school, or did that come later?
I was, ironically, by the New York Yankees in like the 18th or 19th round. So I don't even remember, way down the loose. But they drafted me sight unseen. Yeah. And they had just heard about me. They wanted to take a chance on a lefty that they thought they could develop. But at that point in time, my grandfather had been diagnosed with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease. And I thought, there's no way I can leave right now. He's sick. He's in a wheelchair. My grandmother's alone. She weighs 98 pounds. He's 200 at the time, all the way down to 100 at the end of it. But I didn't want to leave them in that situation at that point in time, because I wanted to be there for them. And so I put the dreams on hold. And I went to a little junior college, Ranger Junior College, about 50 minutes away, and made the trek every weekend. My coach told me, you pitch during the week, during the fall, you go to class on the weekends, you go home and spend time with your grandparents. And that's what I did in the fall of 1982.
Astonishing. Wow. Wow. Okay. So the motivation to go to the big league tryout, I mean, how accurate was the movie in that your high school team is what motivated you to do that?
The high school kids were amazing, and they talked me into it, and I thought this would be a lark, man. I weighed 260 pounds. I've had 9 surgeries. I look like a baseball scout, not a baseball player, and I thought, this is a joke. I'm going to go make people laugh. I'll do this because I promise to do it. My grandfather always said, if you promise to do something, you do it. And so I went thinking, I'm going to do it. Everybody's going to laugh. It's going to be hilarious. Fat guy on the mound, he's old. Nobody would even warm up with me when I got there. They just looked at me and like, whatever, man, you're like 20 years older than we are. And so they make me try out last.
Yeah.
And so I have to wait for everybody else to try out. And I take the mound, and everybody's putting their stuff away in their cars and getting ready to leave. And I start pitching, and one gun turns into two. Two radar guns turn into three. And all of a sudden, kids who are coming, putting their stuff up are coming back behind the backstop. And then the scout goes, you, grab your bat and get in the box. And yeah. The first hint I got of this might be okay was that kid who had to grab his bat goes, you want me to get in there against that?
Oh.
And I thought, whoa, maybe I'm throwing okay.
Yeah.
And because after the first pitch, the scout's shaking his radar gun, I thought, man, I don't even throw hard enough to register.
Yeah.
And now this kid's going, you want me to get in there with that?
Right.
And I thought, that's cool. Amazing. And then I thought, thank you, high school kids.
Yes. We're off and running. Okay, so I hate to say it, but here we are 20 years after you made it. It's almost that long since the movie was made. Jim, what do you want people to learn from your experiences, especially as we go through a real trying time in America?
Man, there are going to be obstacles, and we're going to have to persevere through everything. The reality we knew before this is not going to be the same after this, because let's look, as human beings, we have this thing about we're in control. We're in control of this. We're in control of that. We're not in control of anything. We're being taken out little by little by a tiny thing that we can't even see, and we're supposed to be at the top of the food chain. So it's going to look different when we come out on the other side, and you have to adjust, and you have to manipulate, and you have to decide, what is it I really want to do? And then you just have to put your head down and go for it. You can't take no for an answer. You don't look back. You don't look around. You just move forward. If you sit and wallow in what we're going through right now, you're going to drown. And, yeah. You know, there are hard times. There are things that we haven't even seen yet that are going to be harder. But if you put a smile on your face and you have God in your heart, you move on, you move forward, and you live. Jeez. I mean, this too shall pass, and we're going to come through it on the other side. We're going to be bigger, better, and stronger than we were before.
All right. We are almost out of time. I can't believe this, Jim. What are you doing now? Seems like a guy that had a movie made about his life could turn around and write a book about having his life made into a movie. Tell me about Dreammakers.
My book, Dreammakers, dreammakersbook.com, is a book that a compilation of speeches I've done over the last 20 years. And basically, it's about how to surround yourself with the best people possible to be the best you can possibly be. You keep these people on your team because the dream killers, they want to see you fail. And they want to see you fail miserably because they've either failed or they were too afraid to do something in their lives. So if they can drag you down to where they are, they feel better about where it is they are. But if you have good people, solid people, loyal people on your team, there's nothing you can't achieve. So that's what the book is about.
Jim, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We so appreciate it. It's a story that people need to put it in their hearts and understand exactly what it means. If you're looking for that movie to share with your kids and your family, because this is one that you can share with all of your kids and all of your families, you got to go and watch The Rookie. Jim Morris, thank you so much.
Absolutely. God bless you guys.
All right. God bless you as well. Jim Morris, retired MLB pitcher right there. Who'd have thunk it? Right here on AgriTalk. We got John Doggett coming up next, CEO of NCGA.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, this corn and the wheat trade doesn't look all that promising right now. What is going on?
Well, start off with wheat. It traded higher through overnight, especially in the winter wheat markets. We've gotten a daytime trade here, and it's backed off. So, the whole debate about, how much more export demand is there going to be for U.S. wheat with some of the major exporters, primarily Ukraine and Russia, looking like they'll limit their exports here the final quarter of the 2019-20 marketing year. We just ran out of buyer interest when we got to daytime trade. Corn, it struggled. It did poke above unchanged briefly overnight, but really struggled to find buyers. Pressure on crude oil futures, more pressure on the ethanol sector, and just kind of swimming uphill here from the demand standpoint for the corn market.
I guess we really are here. Soybeans are trading a little bit on the plus side of unchanged, but nothing too exciting there either.
No, somewhat of a mixed tone. Soy oil is trying to hold together here in the soy complex. Nearby meal futures and nearby soybean futures, like you mentioned, are trading firmer. But when you look out to some of those far deferred contracts, they are under a little bit of price pressure in the meal and soybean markets.
All right, take me to the livestock trade. Mixed trade in live cattle, I'll call it, but we've got some pressure on lean hogs.
Yeah, hogs are sharply lower here, so that's continuation of the poor close to late last week. The cattle market started out under heavy pressure, but we've reversed that in those spring and summer month contracts to trade higher. So the Dow's helping a little bit there with gains of almost 500 points now this morning.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, we got to keep this thing going. Thanks, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Yeah. Davis. That was Jim Morris. Jim the Rookie. Jim. Morris. Yeah, hey, I think maybe we got a little trouble with your signal. That was so cool. Again, a big shout out to Jim the Rookie Morris, MLB's oldest rookie, took the mound for the first time at the age of 35 years young, I guess. And what a story. And we can learn so much about perseverance and making some sacrifices and sticking to it, and there's reward at the end of all of this from Morris's story, and thanks to him for coming on and sharing it with us. Even though it's one that I know very well, it was really cool to hear it from him and him himself. Here's another guy that I like talking to every chance we get, John Doggett, CEO of NCGA. John, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I am good. I'm standing outside of my house in Northern Virginia. Beautiful day here. I'm still getting a paycheck. They don't wrap it in a bow. And I'm healthy. My family's healthy. We have a roof over our head. We have food in the house. And electricity's still on.
Amen. And amen to all of that.
A lot of people a lot of people aren't going to have that in a few weeks.
Right, right.
It's a tough deal here, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, John, you're used to dealing with people here in the – you live in a highly populated area, but you're used to dealing with people here in the middle of the country where it's not quite as densely populated. What's it like out there, man?
I've talked to a couple members of my management team this morning, and the thing that I heard from them was it is so much different what we're hearing out in the countryside than what we're hearing in the Washington suburbs or out of St. Louis. There are people who are really, really frightened here in this area. Some of the hospitals are starting to get overwhelmed. They don't have enough protective gear for the healthcare professionals. I talked to my daughter a couple of days ago. They live next to a pulmonary doctor in Tallahassee, and he was complaining we don't have enough ventilators in Tallahassee, Florida. And that's a city that's the state capital of Florida. It has two major universities in that city, and they are concerned that they're not going to have enough ventilators to keep people alive, and they don't have enough protective gear. You know, we're in a funny place, but, you know, we're going to get into that strange, bad spot in rural America as well. I talked to some folks back home. The little town I grew up in Montana does not have a ventilator. They only have four hospital beds. What happens if you have three people that need a ventilator and there's no ventilators within 200 miles? Right. You know, who makes that decision?
Right. Yeah, it's not a decision that I want to make. That is for sure, John. Yeah.
Not at all. Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk some business here, because COVID-19 is having an impact on our business. One of the things that we've been concerned about all along here, John, is the supply chain. And I know, I know that you're talking about the supply chain in a new podcast that you're doing. What's this podcast all about?
Well, Neil Caskey talked me into doing a podcast. It's called Wherever John May Roam.
Okay.
You can get it wherever podcasts are available, but we were going to do this once a month, and we've recorded four of the podcasts, or five actually, released four. The one we released last week, I talked to Mike Frank with Nutrien, and it was a good conversation, and it made me feel a lot better, because Mike was saying, hey, we have enough fertilizer, we have enough seed, we're going to have enough chemical for this crop here. He was very optimistic, and Mike's a guy that I trust, and when he tells me that they're in a good spot in the largest ag retail outlet in the country, largest fertilizer producer in the country, that makes me feel pretty good.
Yeah, no question about it. So you're feeling confident in the supply of product that we're going to need for this spring?
All indications are that we're going to be okay.
Good. You know, I see we've got Mike Frank from Nutrien on the line with us right now. Mike, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us, Mike. So tell me, build on what John was just saying. Are you feeling confident? And Davis, man, jump in if you've got questions. Are you feeling confident?
Boy, Mike better be in agreement with me what I just said.
That's right. I hope you guys got your story straight here.
Yeah. That's great. So look, what John said is absolutely true. We're, you know, as you all know, we're getting busy for the spring season right now. It's generally wet in more places than it's dry. So it hasn't been a super strong spring so far, but that's going to change. And you know, as John said, so we've got fertilizer in our sheds. We're delivering seed, and so, you know, wherever we can, we're trying to get product out to the farm. And so seed is going out right now as growers are getting ready to get on the planter here in the next month or two. And, you know, a lot of chemicals are bulk, and so we don't deliver them until you know, the growers are ready, or we custom apply them. And so there are some products, obviously, that we sell that we can't pre-deliver. So we're trying to get products moved out that we can right now. I think, you know, what John and I talked about last week on his call is, you know, as we think about our supply chain, and of course we work with, you know, all the big companies, BASF and Bayer and Syngenta and Corteva. And, you know, so we've got their products in our sheds right now. You know, we do rely on the road system, the rail system. And so we need the ports to stay open. We need the transportation system to continue to operate and work. And we're not just us in the retail side. We know that all the retail companies are doing a really good job, I think, of making sure that their employees and their customers stay safe. And so we're practicing social distancing. We have no visitors allowed on site other than customers. And if a customer has to come on site, you know, we've got places where they can go and making sure that they keep their social distance. We're being very careful with trucks that are coming in. So if a truck's coming in for a delivery, we're not letting the truck driver get out of the truck and come into our branches. So, you know, we're taking precautions like that. And again, we're open for business. Our operating hours haven't changed. What we have seen is an uptick in the digital tools. And so we've had about half of our orders in the month of March come in through the digital portal that we've got set up. And so we're definitely seeing an uptick in digital ordering.
Okay, Mike, if somebody wants to learn more about that digital access to what you've got there at Nutrien, where do they go?
Yeah, they can go to NutrienAgSolutions.com.
Okay.
And or they can go to the App Store. And so just on their phone, go to the App Store, search for the Nutrien Ag Solutions app, download it, and then you're in business. You can order products, you can pay bills, you can get agronomy information, weather information. So it's kind of a one-stop shop. And you'll also get service. And so, you know, we don't have a separate kind of e-commerce site. This site, you'll get service from the local branch, and so it's just an extension of what we already do with our brick-and-mortar stores.
Okay. All right. Very good, Mike. Thank you so much. I want to get John back into the conversation here because, John, we got to talk about this ethanol market. I mean, my gosh. The ethanol guys have experienced a double black swan flyby in the last 30 days, and the demand destruction here is tough. I mean, what does this look like when we get to the other side?
Well, we don't know, because we don't know the other side of what. The pandemic, is it going to be one wave? Is it going to be two? How many people are going to die? How many people are going to get sick? How bad is the economy going to get? And then the other part of it is the other black swan, and that is, what are the Saudis and the Russians going to decide to do about the wave of oil that they've dumped on the world market? That's having as big an effect, I think, as much as the demand destruction. I mean, you have this huge supply and 25% reduction in petroleum use.
Right. What do you know about Valero's force majeure declaration? John?
Are experts in contract law.
Hey, John, start over. I'm sorry. You cut out for us for just a second. Start over on your answer.
Okay. So on the force majeure, almost every contract that growers have will have a force majeure provision in it. I've talked to a lot of growers that went out, grabbed their contract and taken a look at it. It's in there. NCGA had to cancel our hotel rooms because of the pandemic. We were going to have a board meeting in Washington, D.C. So it's a common thing. The thing that we need to remember is that it does not allow someone like Valero or anybody else to go ahead and say, we're not going to honor our contract, and then turn around and buy corn cheaper on the cash market. They can't go out and do that. They can invoke the force majeure if they can't sell their product and their corn bins are full.
Right. Okay, so just to be clear, this is not just on delivering DDGs. This is also on bringing corn into their facilities, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. thank you so much for the time today. We really appreciate it. John, stay in touch. If you've got a message that you need to get out to the listeners, you let me know. We'll do it.
We'll do that. And Chip, one thing I would say is everybody needs to take care of one another.
Take care of one another. That is exactly right. Guys, check out NCGA's podcast, Where John May Roam. You can find it at ncga.com/stay-informed/media/podcast. Also, thanks to Mike Frank from Nutrient.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence and instead be proud of your stands.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time on the first double play.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture, and is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. It's been quite a show so far, my goodness gracious. And, you know, Davis, I thought maybe we'd slide into the close of the show, have Greg Peterson on, talk some auctions. Everything would be kind of lowbrow and low-key going into the end of the show with Greg. And then he sends me a note on what he wants to talk about. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is crazy. Let's get him in here right now. Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Greg, hey, buddy, it's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, you guys too. Hope it's okay. We throw a few sparks here with some tractor prices at you to end the show.
Not only is it crazy the prices that you're going to be talking about, but it's crazy how this auction out in Ohio finally happened, right?
Yeah, it's been a really just an amazing month. I think March of 2020, hopefully when I'm 90 years old and put down the pen, quit typing this stuff up, I know I'll always remember this month. And there was a sale a week ago Saturday, it was March 21st. It was my good friends at Trader Real Estate and Auction. Now, they've been having, this was the 13th annual spring consignment sale in Wilshire, Ohio.
Right.
So March 21st, of course, you know, they planned the on-site auction with online bidding, but then, well, you know, dealing with all the changing from guidelines from the state, social distancing. So anyway, it winds up, you know, being an online auction.
Right.
And they had over 800 items on the sale. So there was a lot of trepidation, you know, how is this going to go here? But one of the tractors, my friend Ritter Cox sent me a note. He said, Pete, the sale was incredible. And they had an 84 model John Deere 4450 mechanical front, super just solid looking rig.
Yep.
5,405 hours, so good hours, not super duper crazy low, but it brought $56,000. Now, again, that's the highest auction price I've seen on a 4450 in 4.5 years. So for that to happen right in amongst everything going on this month,
yeah,
speaks to a lot of things. One is the ability of auction companies like Schrader to pull this off. Now, Ritter told me they had 10 guys taking phone bids that day, plus the online bidding, to make this happen. And the whole thing took like over 7 hours, which it normally, you know, just got stretched out with the online part. Yeah. But again, $56K, just for perspective, the average auction price this year on a 4450 is about $30,800, and it's almost the exact price it was 5 years ago, $30,800. So almost double on the 84 model sold March 21st in Wilshire, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Your description of it was exactly right. It's a solid looking machine. But was there any backstory to this that caused it to get to that $56K?
No.
I
mean, I talked to Ritter on the phone for about 20 minutes, and it was, it's just indicative, amazingly, of what we've been seeing here since fall, even through, and again, the tough times in ag, nothing new, but, I don't know. I mean, the other thing I could tell you is, for example, Saturday, we had the biggest search traffic day in 6 months at machinerypete.com. So, yes, times are tough. And I don't know if the fact that, you know, we can't go down to the coffee shop and talk, I don't know. But
right.
Good used machinery like this 4450. And there was another tractor on the sale, too, that that pushed the needle. It was an 02 New Holland TG230. Low hours, okay. Just under 1,600 hours, brought 64K. Highest price in 7 years on a TG230. So, again, it's been an amazing month.
Jeepers, criminy. So that was also on that Wilshire consignment?
Yep. And there was one other tractor. There were three of them. There was a Minneapolis Moline restored 71 model G950 that had been, it was red and white, like cockshut colors. Yeah. So that early 70s white Oliver Minneapolis Moline when that all went down. But anyway, this thing brought 13.5, second highest price in 20 years on a G950. So they had quite a sale there a week ago Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, we're going to talk more about some of the trends that you're seeing later this week, but what are you watching this week? Have you got any auctions that really catching your attention? And I got to assume, Greg, they're all going to be online only, right?
Pretty much. I mean, we are still seeing a few where they'll have the auction, but the auction firms will say, due to state guidelines, we're requesting only, you know, either stay in your truck or come out, don't bring anyone else, and, okay, and do the social distancing, but mostly just online only. And yeah, there's a bunch of really good sales this week. I know tomorrow my friend Dennis Baliski with Resource Auction, they have their big consignment sale, and that is at the, well, it would have been at the Grand Forks, the big arena up there, the Alaris Center. But now that's online bidding. Tons of nice equipment on that sale. So check that out, folks. ResourceAuction.com. Dennis has a ton of good equipment up for sale tomorrow on the sale.
All right. All right. What else are you doing this week? I mean, you know, travel might be cutting back a little bit here, huh, Peterson?
Travel is cutting back. Here's my task this week, guys.
Okay.
I have to write a quarterly report for Wall Street and try to tell them what has happened in the first quarter of 2020
as
it pertains to used values and how it relates to conditions for new equipment sales. So it's going to be, it'll be a fascinating study to put together. We can talk more about it next time we talk or next week. But search traffic is strong and good used has been hanging in there amazingly well.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Greg, take care of yourself. And we will talk to you later this week.
Hey, sounds good, guys. See ya.
All right. That is Greg Peterson with Machinery Pete. What am I saying there? He is Machinery Pete. He's got some help to go along up there. But boy, he's the guy that gathers the information, puts it all in place, and then puts the perspective.
Chip, I got to say.
Yes.
I got to say, I am fascinated by the online component that continues to surface as we're dealing with this outbreak. When we talk about what's it look like on the other side, I'm curious to see if this online component doesn't become a bigger and bigger player in ag in general.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. We are pulling the future forward, Davis. That's what we're doing in a lot of cases here. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Jim Morris for taking time, coming on and sharing his story. Thank you to John Doggett, Mike Frank for joining us this morning as well. And to Greg Peterson. Come back this afternoon. We got Jerry Goodell from Midland Research. And tomorrow morning, Mike Conaway from Texas.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit Valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.